Welcome to the St. George in the Pines podcast, and Merry Christmas! We're so glad you're here. Each week, we share sermons to help you connect with God's love and truth in your life. Today, Reverend Seth shares a Christmas message of hope, healing, and the transforming power of Jesus. Let's dive in, and may this message bring joy to your Christmas celebration.
Our first lesson tonight is Isaiah 9, verse 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Second lesson is Titus 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our God, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And as we're standing, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray that only your word be spoken, only your word heard, and only your word lived. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. They say that when you enter a room, you bring your whole life with you. I think that's true. Each one of us has come here to this Christmas Eve service with our whole lives. I don't know your life and you don't know mine, but it's, I'm sure, complex. I'm sure your life and mine are filled with some victories and many defeats, some joys, and perhaps many disappointments. What could be said of rooms can also be said for seasons. In the Christian church, the past 4 weeks, we've been in the season of Advent, which is a season of reflection. It's a sobering season where we consider the last things, and we consider human life and human death. And that's been a long journey that's culminating in Christmas Day. Christmas being the day where God intervenes in human history and comes among us and is born. Now, as is the case with every year, right after Thanksgiving, when we enter, end of November, beginning of December, the complexities of our lives are flattened by the culture around us. Because what happens is that when you go out in the culture we share, in any given shop, big or small, what you're going to hear is a bunch of carols, a lot of happy tunes, Mariah Carey blasting, and everything's cheer and wonder. And it feels like you're being forced or funneled into feeling a kind of superficial gaiety or joy. Just smile and be happy and also spend money. But it's a flattening 2D experience because our lives aren't just cheery and go lucky. We live in a real world. This past year, we've seen the world, what seems like, erupt in flames. War in the Ukraine. Atrocities happening in the Middle East and Gaza. And these are the stories that dominate our headlines, but there's so many other stories in the wider world that we maybe don't immediately know about, but they are happening. And if that weren't enough, we have our own personal lives to contend with. We have hurts, we have sorrows. We come through Advent and approach the Christmas season with, some of us have lost our jobs, or we've lost relationships. Maybe friendships have ended, or maybe relationships are lost to death. And so we enter this season complicated. It's not simple. And then we come to a church on Christmas Eve, and we sing these lovely carols, and there's garlands, and there's candles. And is this once again another flattening moment where we're forced to feel superficial cheer while perhaps inside we're just dying? Does Christmas have anything to say to us? Is it relevant, or is this just pomp and circumstance, just something that we do? My deepest conviction is that this is more than just mere pageantry. Something so beautiful and so wonderful happened at Christmas. God has broken into the narrative of human history and is offering us a chance of life and love. But I think what happens is that we've so become numb to the commercialism or the 2D-ness of Christmas that we could come even to a church on Christmas Eve and miss the story, miss the point. And that would be a shame. So this evening, I want to help us and help myself turn to what Christmas actually means. It is something powerful. It's God's inbreaking into the dark. And so for a moment, I'm going to invite us all. We're going to walk to the dark for a moment. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. But I think only when we come into the dark when we actually see the light that God's offering. Because it's tempting to think that the words that I'm saying, the stories that we're hearing, the songs we're singing have no relevance or connection to the world that we share. And nothing could be farther from the truth. And the example I want to use tonight is a historical example. And I want us to consider a historical moment. It'll be South Africa. Now, as many of you would know, for a long period in the 20th century, South Africa practiced apartheid, an apartheid state, which functionally meant that a minority white South African government and populace dominated and oppressed a majority black South African population. And that went on for far too long. But eventually, by the ending of the 20th century, a political change was happening in South Africa. And eventually new leadership came up, Nelson Mandela, people like Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And this new leadership in that country were having to assess and diagnose the nation. How did the nation get to that point? How did the systems of injustice and oppression interweave into all of the lives of that nation? And so in order to understand what had happened, they had to understand the system. But in order to understand what had gone on, they would need the people who perpetrated evil and injustice. They needed to know what they had done. But of course, under the new government, if people came forward and said, oh, I did such evil, they wouldn't, because they'd be afraid of repercussions, of punishment, prison time. So what the leadership decided to do was, in many cases, offer amnesty, offer immunity, so that people would come forward and confess what they had done. And so the stories started coming in. And I want to share one with you. And this is one that Desmond Tutu relates in a powerful book called The Sunflower. I encourage you to read it if you get a chance. And Desmond Tutu writes a very short section there, but he relates a story. He says that he was part of many committees and panels that had to hear the testimonies of perpetrators and the evil they had done. And so this is, he relating one specific, that they were in a panel in a small room. And in this room, they were hearing the confessions of a local police force. And in this particular story, the police force were confessing that they had had a police appreciation barbecue event at their precinct. And part of their festivities was to then drive into the local black township and then randomly arrest innocent adults. And they brought them back to their precinct, to the party, and they essentially put them in a cage, and then they killed them. They burned them. And to them, it was a joke, like a double barbecue. And Desmond Tutu writes that when they were hearing this confession, he's there in the panel, present in the room, were the family members of those who had been illegally arrested and murdered. And he says that many, not all, but many of the family members of those slain came forward, and they forgave the police officers. And they said, when they were asked why they were doing that, they said because they followed a Jewish rabbi that when he was being murdered on a Roman tree, he forgave those who were killing him. And so they wanted to then forgive these officers. And Desmond Tutu says that when he saw what was happening, he wanted to tell his committee members that everyone should be taking their shoes off now, because they were standing on holy ground. Something so surreal and unprecedented in the history of humanity occurred in that room. In fact, you could make the case that something unprecedented happened in South Africa, because history will show that when an oppressed majority finally take over political control against the oppressors, who are minority, it's almost always a bloodshed. And by rights, by any metric that we could have, that moment in South Africa, even in that room, should have been a bloodshed, but it wasn't. Because the human story of hatred and vengeance wasn't the dominant narrative in that room. It was a story of a Jewish rabbi who gave his life for his enemies. My friends, that story is the essence of Christmas. Our history, the human history, is one where in our primordial past, we have rejected and severed ourselves from God, severing ourselves from life and love. And the proof of that is that our history is written in blood. A human history is exceedingly boring. It is humans killing other humans for some kind of power, and the oppressed rise up, and they kill the oppressors, and the oppressed then become the oppressors, and it's a circle, it's a cycle. We're trapped in a circle of hatred, of vengeance, of murder, of sin. Endlessly boring, endlessly painful. And yet Christmas is God coming into our history, our story, breaking in, being born among us, living the life we should have lived, dying the death we should have died, and not remaining dead, but coming back to new life and offering us his love, his healing, his peace. That gift he offers us is not pie in the sky. It's not an ephemeral reality. It was real in that room in South Africa. And I want to tell you something. No philosophy, no sage, no man-made religion, all our strategies, all our politics, all participate in that boring circle of sameness. Nothing changes. Nothing we could possibly have done could have ended up in what happened in that room, except for the birth of Jesus. Because the birth of Jesus means that there's a God, that ultimate reality is love, that we have been made in this love and we're made to respond to our Creator, receiving that love and sharing that love with each other. But life is hard. Life is so hard. And we get hurt. We're hurt. People hurt us. And then we have to forgive. And often we just don't want to. Or we firmly believe we can't. It's just beyond me. I can't forgive that pain and that hurt. And at the same time that we're nursing our pains, we have hurt others who also can't or won't forgive us. And we behave in ways where we can't change that cycle. And I'll tell you something. You're right. You can't. Except for Jesus. Because in Jesus, his life and his love, if you invite his life and love into yours, your life is grafted and meshed into the life of Jesus, which means that when you reach the limit of what you could possibly do in this world, when you're suffering, when you're hurting, when you feel alienated from each other and from God, and you don't know what to do, you're at your wit's end, the power of God is in your life to propel you to do that which you would find impossible, to forgive the unforgivable, to love the unlovely, to live into your full humanity as God made you. This is the gift of Christmas. It's a gift that's being offered to you right now. A gift, by definition, means it cannot be forced on you. God loves you. He is not a tyrant. God is not a bully. He's not going to bully his way into your life and force you to believe in him and follow him. But he has given his life, and he has come back from the dead, and he's offering you the gift of redemption, of healing, and of peace. And it's for the offer right now. The question tonight is, will you receive it? That's the only question. That is the fundamental question of the human experience. Will you receive the love of God, even tonight? If you do, the life of God will come into your life, and you'll be transformed, you will be healed. You will be part of that that changes this world. My hope and prayer today for you and for me tonight is that this evening of singing and candles and beauty, I hope that this doesn't remain mere pageantry for you. I hope that this isn't just a thing that you're doing on the 24th. My hope and prayer is that you actually would turn to God in repentance and faith. You would receive the gift of salvation found in Jesus, for he is our only hope. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we thank you that in our sordid history, how often we have forgotten you, yet God, you never forgot us. You never forget. You're always there waiting for us to turn to you in repentance and faith. God, we thank you. You've come among us. You were born as one of us on Christmas, and you offer us your life. I pray for each person in this room, God. I pray that anything that's in our lives that is preventing us from turning to faith in you, I pray that you would remove it, that you would kill it. Help us to turn to you in faith. Help us to receive your love. Help us to receive this gift, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the St. George in the Pines podcast. We pray this message has brought you encouragement and a deeper sense of God's presence this Christmas season. To learn more about our church or to support our ministry, visit stgeorgebanff.com. From all of us at St. George's, Merry Christmas, and may you be blessed with peace, joy, and the love of Christ.